Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here again. I hope you feel the same way. The Lord is here. We've got beautiful weather. We've got the Word of God. We've got encouragement. Before I begin, would you join me again briefly as we talk to the God of the Word? Oh, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let me start by asking you all a question. Do you know anyone that's a phony? I saw a couple nods out there. Would you want a phony for a friend or a neighbor? Would you choose a phony to build your house? Would you choose a phony to repair your roof? Would you vote for a phony to be the mayor or the sheriff? I see some of you shaking your head. No, why not? Why not? This is where you can answer back.
Wouldn't turn out well.
Wouldn't turn out well. That's probably the best reason. Would it be fair to say that a phony is a con artist, not someone who they present themselves to be? And we don't want pretenders operating on us, fixing our teeth, or even repairing our driveways, do we? So why would a church choose phonies for leadership positions? Imagine the spiritual damage that would do. And that's exactly why Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, spent so much time in his short letter that we've been looking at, talking about apostates, pretenders in the church. Folks, it was even there in the early church. It's nothing new. And isn't that amazing? And that was there in the early church. They had the apostles. And along with the apostles, they had apostates. Wow. Today we're going to learn the effect that phonies have on a church when they're put into leadership positions. We're going to learn this from the book of Jude. But first, let's remember where we've been. Jude wanted to write to Christians, he said, about our wonderful salvation. But instead, as he became aware of a serious danger facing the churches, he switched topics and he wrote instead about make-believe Christians who were trying to take over the church. And as we've talked, these apostates are people that abandon the faith. They pretend to believe the Bible, and they pretend to serve God. And so far in our study, we've learned some important principles from this powerful little letter. We've learned that if you listen to God and cling to Jesus, your faith is safe. We've learned that Christians are secure in Christ, but you must stand your ground and be on your guard. We've learned that if you live for Jesus, you'll avoid God's judgment, because there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then last week, we learned that false religion is bad news, but Jesus is good news. God's way is best. And I love this slide. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end it leads to death, dead end. I've actually seen cemeteries where there was a sign that said dead end right before them. Yes. I was like, somebody call the town, you know, but that picture is a good reminder. A false religion is a dead end. There's only one way that's the right way, and that's God's way through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's take our Bibles and let's turn again the back of the New Testament just before the book of Revelation to this little letter of Jude, just one chapter long. And we're going to be looking today at verses 12 through 16. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. I invite you to use your Bible and read along. It'll also be up on the screen. Speaking of the apostates, here's what Jude writes. He says, "These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever." He continues, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Verse 16, "These men are grumblers and fault finders, and they follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage." This is the word of God. Jude shows us here two ways that apostates, pretenders, affect the church when they're present, especially when they're in leadership. The first way that phonies affect the church is that phonies degrade the church. Phonies degrade the church. Someone said they're a disgrace to grace. They corrupt and lower the quality of the church in two areas. The first area they degrade the church in is that the fellowship of the church is degraded. How? Because he says phonies are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Now, the love feast is part of the fellowship of communion. As you know, brethren, churches copy the early church in our communion in that it involves feet washing, a token meal, and the bread and the cup. It is an attempt to obey and duplicate what the early church did and what the apostles did with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the early church, the love feast was probably a lot like a potluck dinner, and it was an opportunity for the church to fellowship together and for the rich and poor to get together and for the rich to share out of their bounty with the poor. It also celebrates our unity in Christ, and as I've suggested before, it looks forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Now, I've seen some places where Christians are not convinced that the love feast and the foot washing are a part of communion. But here it is, in reference in the early church, we have the love feast. Now, Jude said that phony apostate pretenders were blemishes. They were spots, the King James says, in the love feasts. And I think Jude is picturing a table here spread with delicious food. You look at it, and there in front of you is your favorite pie. You haven't had it for months, but as you reach for a piece, you see a big spot of mold right there in the middle of that piece of pumpkin pie. It's blemished. It's spotted. All of a sudden, the quality of the whole meal is ruined, isn't it? You're not sure you want to eat anything on that table. Jude says that make-believe Christians are just like that. They ruin the fellowship, and they blemish the church in God's sight. Phony apostates like these still blemish the church today. They've been with us right from the beginning. The church ought to identify and remove them from leadership, just like you want to remove spoiled food from the dinner. The Apostle Paul used a very similar word in Ephesians 5:27, where he wrote that Jesus Christ's plan is to cleanse the church and to present it to himself without spot or any other blemish in it. He said, speaking of Christ, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So apostates degrade a church's fellowship, especially at the love feast, the Lord's table at communion. Another area that phonies affect the church is that the unity of the church is degraded when apostate pretenders are present. He says in verse 16, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. Jude paints here a picture for us of a person whose attitude, whose actions and words are calculated to undermine the unity of the church. They're not happy with the way that God has set up the church, and they'll do all they can to complain and to convince others to change things to their own advantage. The effect is the opposite of maintaining unity. There's no unity, only discord, bickering, and backbiting. And it's all for their benefit. The last phrase of this verse literally says, honoring faces for the sake of advantage. They put up a front for their own advantage to get what they want. Well, not only does the presence of a phony apostate pretender degrade or corrupt the church's fellowship and unity, the presence has a second effect, Jude tells us. And that is that apostate phonies deprive the church. They deprive the church. They keep the church from having those things that God has provided for growth and maturity of all Christians in the church in Christ. To show us how, Jude gives us five vivid pictures of how they deprive the church. Look again at what the scripture says. He said, these men are shepherds who feed only themselves. They're clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. First of all, he says, phonies deprive the church of care. The King James says, feeding themselves without fear. The NIV says, they're shepherds who feed only themselves. The Greek word for feeding means shepherding or tending to the needs of a flock. And when combined with the word themselves, the idea is that they only care about, they only feed themselves. That's the only reason they're there in the church. They seem to be spiritual shepherds, but in their hypocrisy, they are self-serving. The needs of other people mean absolutely nothing to them. They feed only themselves. What's amazing is that false shepherds use and abuse people in order to get what they want, and yet all the while they do it in such a way that the people seem to love it. I've seen this happen in a church. Well, you know, he's a little quirky, you know, but he gets things done. Look out. What's sad is that movies often portray pretenders like this as the norm for religious leaders. Why is that? It's because there have been so many in church history down through the ages. And it doesn't matter what denomination, they're there. A church needs to get rid of pretenders like this from its leadership. You say, how do you do it? It's very simple. We just need to use the biblical standards for leaders in Acts chapter 6 and 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. If churches would do that, we could get rid of these pretenders. What's sickening is that these false shepherds are entirely without fear of God or his judgment. How do you correct someone who has no fear of punishment? How do you do that? All you can do is warn them and pray for them. That's all you can do. Well, next, Jude warns us that phonies deprive the church of blessing. He says in verse 12 that they are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Now, rain is very important in an agricultural society, which most of the world was back then. To see a cloud brought the hope and promise of rain. They didn't have weather apps on their phones. They didn't have weather reports. They didn't have weathermen. They didn't have TVs, okay? And so to see a cloud made you think, well, maybe we're going to get that rain we've been needing after all these weeks of drought. But phonies, Jude says, are like clouds with no rain. They make themselves appear to be bearers of blessing. But in reality, it is a false promise. The only thing they bring is the judgment of God. Jude probably had in mind Proverbs 25, verse 14, that says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of gifts he does not give. In other words, he keeps all he has for himself. He doesn't bless anyone else. Much like TV apostates today who preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but they're the only ones who end up wealthy. Their followers all end up in poverty. And so apostate phonies deprive the church of care. They deprive it of blessing. And thirdly, Jude tells us that phonies deprive the church of spiritual food. He says in verse 12, they are autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. Apostate pretenders are like fruit trees. At harvest time, a fruit tree is expected to bear fruit. That's right. But the apostates are fruitless, Jude says. People come to church expecting to be spiritually fed, but false teachers have no real food. In fact, they very rarely even use the Bible. They quote all kinds of authors and their favorite people, but there's no fruit there spiritually. They're like autumn trees, withered with no fruit that you can eat. In fact, Jude says there's no life in them at all. They're like a tree uprooted in a hurricane. They'll never produce fruit. Why? Because they're dead. At first look, you might see leaves and make you think that they're alive, but there's no fruit and there's no root to bring life. This is why the qualifications for church leaders are spelled out so clearly in the Bible. If there's no spiritual food, the church and Christians will not grow. So phonies deprive the church of care, blessing, and spiritual food. The fourth thing that Jude says they deprive the church of is honor. Phony apostates deprive the church of honor. He says they are wild waves of the sea in verse 13, foaming up their shame. Instead of being honored, the church is disgraced by the lives of these pretenders. Without the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5, apostates react with rage when things don't go their way. Unbelievers see that and they think, well, that's how all Christians are, especially if it's leaders acting that way. The waves of the sea is sometimes used as a picture of the restlessness of the wicked in the Bible. Isaiah 57 verse 20 says, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace for the wicked." Apostates' lives only produce flotsam and jetsam. You remember those? That's the stuff that washes up on the ocean shore after a storm. So phonies deprive the church of care, blessing, spiritual food, honor. And then fifthly, Jude says that these apostate phonies deprive the church of guidance. Verse 13 adds that they are wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Apostate pretenders are unreliable leaders. Wandering stars, he calls them. The word here in the original language means a planet. Why would you call that a wandering star? What do planets do in the night sky? Planets are never in the same position. They move, don't they? Stars are fixed. But they didn't really know. They just called it a wandering star because it looked like a star to them. And it's unreliable as a navigational guide because it's never in the same place. Mariners, if they tried to use it, they'd end up lost forever if they chose a wandering star. And apostates lead others for their own personal benefit. They don't know where they're going. And God's word says they're doomed. Doomed to wander and never find truth. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. They don't know what it says. And Jude tells us that apostates and all who follow them are doomed. It reminds Jude of a passage in the book popular in his day. It was called the Book of Enoch. And I want you to notice the emphasis on all and ungodly. Each is used 3 and 4 times. Jude says, "Enoch, the 7th from Adam, prophesied about these men. He said, 'See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Now, the book of Enoch is not recognized as scripture, but this part of it is confirmed as true. It is a good summary of God's judgment on the ungodly and a warning to all apostates. Hearing these descriptions and warnings about phony pretenders makes you wonder why anyone would listen to or follow an apostate. But many people are doing it even today. Even today, where we have the Word of God clearly spelled out in a lot of different translations. If you have a trouble with the King James, get a newer one and you can understand it for yourself if you'll read it. There is something in fallen human nature that loves a lie and is willing to follow it no matter where it may lead. You want proof of that today? Just listen to politicians. There's something in human nature, but the success of the apostates is only temporary because judgment is coming. So what should the church do? What do we do? Let's consider the church's response, okay? What can we do? Well, we're going to look more closely at this next time, but right now I want to give you a couple suggestions so you don't go away so disappointed and say, what do we do? First of all, I'd like to suggest that Christians, we need to be aware of what's going on in the church and pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in the church around us. Then we need to know who the phony apostate pretenders are. How do you do that? Use the Word of God. Look at those descriptions of what leaders are supposed to look like in Timothy and Titus. Men, don't choose them for church leaders. Choose wisely. And then use the Bible's qualifications for leaders in Acts 6, 1 Timothy 3, and Titus 3. And then lastly, pray for the phonies to come to their senses, that God's Holy Spirit would bring conviction in their hearts. We can't convict people. But God can. God can. Okay, when we put all this together, what do we see? That the effect of apostate pretenders in the church is to degrade it and deprive it of what it needs to have an effective ministry. It's a pattern that's been repeated over and over and over in church after church and denomination after denomination. Why? Because the devil knows it works and he doesn't need to change his method if it works. If our enemy can get phony Christians with no character and no leadership in the church will look and sound nice. But it will become ineffective, in accomplishing its mission. And what is the church's mission, folks? Jesus said the Son of Man came to what? Seek and to save who? The lost. That's our leader, folks. He said we're supposed to go out and become fishers of men, catching them for Jesus, pointing them to Christ. The problem is many Christians get complacent and they don't want to ruffle the feathers. Right? Am I right? Complacency is our enemy. It's easy to become complacent. I love this picture, right? There's a deer drinking water right next to what? A lion. Yeah. It's easy to become complacent. Folks, Lutheran Christians in Nazi Germany became complacent about the persecution of the Jews. Complacency is to be quietly tolerant of something that should infuriate us, to quietly accept the unacceptable. For instance, many American Christians have become complacent about the issue of abortion. They say, well, there's just nothing we can do. In the same way the church can become complacent about pretenders in her midst. Well, you know, you're always going to have some kooks and don't do anything about it. And so Jude tells us to look out for pretenders in our church. But he doesn't just warn us. He shows us the effect phonies have on the church, what it'll be if we don't heed his words. Reminds me of the warning sign that some stores had when those laser checkout scanners first came into place. You remember when they first came into place? They had warning signs that said something like, you know, don't look into the scanner while it's in operation. Now that sign identified the hazard, but it doesn't tell you why you shouldn't look into the laser scanner. And human nature being what it is, people are going to look. A more effective warning sign is the one I saw back in the 60s in a laser development lab, and it said simply, do not look into the laser beam with your remaining eye. Why is that a good warning? Because it tells you what's going to happen if you don't obey it. You lose your sight. So why shouldn't Christians put phony pretender apostates in leadership positions? It'll ruin the church. And it's ruined church after church in some denominations over the years. Instead, we should use the Bible's qualifications for leaders, clearly spelled out for us. You've probably heard the insurance company slogan that you're in good hands with Allstate. Yes, well, Jude tells the church you're in bad hands with apostates. There's a better way. It's God's way. What if you're not a Christian, or worse, pretending to be one? Jude wants you to think about the terrible judgment that awaits you if you don't repent. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. God loves you. One of the great songs we grew up hearing as kids in church was, Jesus loves what? Me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. God is a God of love for his children. He loves you. He always has. He always will. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin and mine, to become an atonement for our sins, so we don't have to pay for our own sins. So he took what we deserve so that we get what he deserves, heaven. Church is not a place where Christians play Bible trivia and sinners can tell themselves they're not so bad. It's a place for all of us to get right with God, to worship him, to obey him, and to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Amen. Next time, we're going to look at Jude again, and we're going to learn about a Christian survival guide. Hope you'll be here. In the meantime, your homework assignment is to read through the letters of 2 Peter and Jude this week and note their similarities again. They're short letters. It won't take long. And you'll be surprised. It's surprising, isn't it? Yes. All right, would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, please protect us and our families from the effects of apostasy. Please protect our church, the churches in our community, and the church of the brethren. We ask again for discernment. Help us to hide your word in our hearts, to stand on your word alone, and to be on our guard. May we, like Jesus, be full of grace and truth, and gently lead others to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.